Hey everybody, you are listening to the Accelerate Performance Lab podcast, hosted by Accelerate's Director of Experimental Science and Social Media Manager, Riley Witt. You are about to hear from some of the world's leading experts in sports performance and human optimization. From elite scientists to world-class coaches, this is the place to be to accelerate your performance. So, as always, sit back, buckle up, enjoy the ride. Here we go.
I'll keep it short because the real gold is to follow. But if you don't know, I'm your host, Riley Witt, and the following conversation is with a fellow Accelerate alum, an Iowa running legend, and really one of my good high school friends, Jackson Mace Maynard. You'll hear more later, but Jackson first came on the running scene when he first started training with Accelerate and ran a head-turning time in the 800 his junior year. This performance caught the attention of many college recruiters, and his future was looking up and, frankly, pretty secure. However, what followed is a story of resilience, challenge, and self-discovery. Jackson's path took an unexpected turn when he faced a significant injury during boot camp while pursuing an athletic and academic career at the Air Force Academy. Today, we're going to dive deep into Jackson's journey, discussing the highs, lows, and difficult decisions he had to make along the way. Like I said, I'll keep it short. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Jackson Mace Maynard. The name that was once an icon, now slightly forgotten for a little while, but hopefully we're able to reignite your story here.
Accurate. That's so accurate. Yeah, no, but it's been too long. It's been too long, man.
I'm excited for this conversation. And to start this thing off, we're going to give a little bit of a rundown so don't leave people in the dark. But if you were to describe Jackson Mace in one sentence 2-3 years ago, and then you're able to describe him in 1-2 sentences now, how would that differ?
Man, I thought about this one a lot, to be honest with you. You know, I think the best way to just, like, sum me up, let's think here, probably like senior year indoor season. I think one word would be blind. Just like blinded. And like, just, I think, like, number one, just blinded by like just the tactics of the enemy and like how he was like working through running, which is something that is so pure and awesome that I love, and just like using it for evil. And then right now I would just sum me up as like healing from all that, just like healing from like my past and just like how I treated running in the past and like what it is to me now. So yeah.
I think that's beautiful. You know, maybe people don't understand quite yet, but give us a little bit of a background, a short like synopsis of the timeline of, you know, junior year Jackson Mace until now, sophomore year of college or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So, bro, this is like, it's funny because it seems like ages ago, but it was only like 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm like, bro, night and day different. So I met Tillis right after I ran 4:39 as a sophomore, and then made state and crossed my junior year, and then swam my junior year in the winter. I hated it. I'd like still hate swimming for cross training.
That did not work out for you fitness wise either.
No, it did not. I ran like, I ran like 505. I'm never going to live that down, man. That one, I'll never live down with Tillis because he always would give me crap about that. I ran like 505 for a mile.
Me and Carson lapped you.
Yeah, you and Carson lapped me, bro, at the beginning of my junior year. Then after, like, I was like, right when swimming was done, like, I dropped it. Like, everything swimming, I was like, I'm done for good. I hate the sport. I don't hate the sport, but like, I just like hate training it. But junior year, had a pretty good junior season, ran decent times at the end of the year, times that were good enough to like get recruited, to be honest with you. And all like the while, like, I think this was maybe my freshman year, sophomore year. I don't really know how it popped up, but like we kind of made the decision, like, which looking back, it was a really rash thing to put on a 14-15 year old kid. But we kind of made the decision that like I was going to go to a military academy, and like that was going to be like the goal pretty much. Like it was free school. I thought serving would be cool. It's kind of like a golden ticket, like in the business world, like you'll get a really good job with the degree from like the Air Force Academy or the Naval Academy. So like all the while, like junior year, junior summer, I didn't talk to Iowa State like a little bit, like had like one phone call with them. And my times were good, but weren't great, I would say. But I got the attention of like the three academies, like West Point Naval Academy and the Air Force Academy. When I got the call from Air Force, I was like, all right, because Air Force is like historically like one of the best teams in the nation. They got seventh at Nash last year. Cheering them on still. I still love my boys at the Academy. And towards Air Force at the beginning, after senior year cross, I ran decent in cross, but I wasn't great at cross. Then like, we just like, that's when like after like cross, it was like, bro, like everything else in high school, like doesn't matter. Now, I know I said, we never said like, Tillis Line never said it didn't matter, but like the mindset just shifted. Running just like pretty much like became the thing that like I would like get excited for when I woke up, like, which isn't a bad thing necessarily, but like, that's really all I was excited for when I woke up. So yeah, then we ran a great indoor season, senior year, ran solid times indoor season. And like, at this point, like it was like kind of sucked. Cause like I balled out indoor season and I had, looking back, I'm like, dude, I could have gone to like a Division One, like I earned like Northwest Missouri State, like on a really large scholarship where I pretty much could have had all my school paid for. Maybe it could have been more successful like collegiately in the running world, but it is what it is at the end of the day. So then outdoor season, man, that's when like I like kind of became a D-bag for like lack of sports. You know what I'm saying? Like I think, I mean, like I could back it up most of the time, but like I just like it was just unnecessary. Like the Strava stuff and like the Instagram stuff. Now looking back, like I haven't had Instagram for months and I deleted my Strava account, my Instagram account. So like I've been on social media for a long time now. But then I think that's when I like really just started to fail like in a lot of my friendships. And like I took, so like the verse, I was always like, okay, like kind of a believer throughout the first half of high school. Then second half of high school, I was definitely gave my life to Christ and was turning to Christ. But the verse I always took was like, do everything as if you're doing it for the Lord, not for man. Right. So I was like, all right, like running, I'm doing it for the Lord, not for man. But like, I kind of missed the everything part in there. I'm like, not just like the things that I chose to be. So like school, most half-hearted effort possibly. Friendships, bro, friendships took a huge hit. Family relationships took a huge, huge hit. Then went to the Academy in late June of almost 18 months ago. And throughout BCT, basic cadet training, I was doing pretty well. I was honestly thriving. Like it was a good environment for me, but like, just like started feeling like pain in my patellar tendon for my right knee. And then my, tibia, my left leg. So got out of basic and like, just turned out that I had like a stress reaction in my tibia and then tendinopathy in my right knee. And then like, and like, I got to stand, like, I'm not throwing anyone under the bus. Like, I'm just giving the facts. Like, this is just literally what happened. Like, at the Academy, like, the trainer was just, like, run through it, pretty much. And, like, I never really got any, like, I went into the first day to the training room, and I was like, this hurts, and, like, I don't want to take time off. And he gave me, like, three stretches and called it good. And, like, that was, like, the end of it. And I was like, you serious? Like going from like Matt at Engineer Performance and like Ben and them like pretty much surrounding me to like just not caring at the Academy was big. It was hard transition. So then ran through it. I trained on that until like November. And like it got to the point where I was like so bad. And like I didn't race at all throughout cross, but I was getting decently fit. So then like started after that, like started to take time off and then like kind of worked through a series of like injections, had some PRP into it. I was like semi-successful. But wasn't really enough to like get me back to training. So like fall for a semester, like I went to church like two times. Like my faith, like I just kind of threw it out the window. I wouldn't say I turned away from God, but like I definitely wasn't putting Jesus as my number one priority, like even close. Then like second semester, like it was just like really like things got bad, like mentally in my mind and like just. Like there was a problem because like it was like every day I couldn't live like in my mind. Like it's weird to explain. Like I had a hard time living with myself if I wasn't running and like wasn't getting that release. And like now I see that running was kind of just a band-aid for like my childhood trauma. Just like a couple incidents like throughout my childhood. Like my parents' divorce was big. My senior year in high school, I think you remember this, Riley. Like my dad had that big accident and he's been like mentally disabled ever since. And like, I just think like a couple of those things and like other things too. Like had some like addiction problems growing up. Just got into some stuff I shouldn't have. Just like on the internet, and then just like with girls, and like I would just go in these like relationships and they were just like not fruitful, to be honest with you, and not God honoring. And made a lot of mistakes throughout high school, and running was kind of just like my band-aid to like cover those wounds up instead of me actually going in and healing them. So like eventually, like the band-aid's not there, like the wounds are like freaking gaping holes, right? Like they're like a hole in your boat and your boat's sinking. So then over spring break, like things got super, super dark last year. So it's been like 9 months ago, 8 months ago, something like that. Super, super dark, and like was like hospitalized for like mental health reasons, which like I never envisioned happening in my life ever. Like I remember the moment when I knew I had to like step away from running and like actually figure my crap out and like learn how to live with myself. I was driving home. So I was hospitalized like in an inpatient like rehab facility for like 5 days during spring break, and learned a lot from it. Like just like was an eye opener to like seeing each person as like a child of God. And my mom was, I was talking to her about like running, and she was like, this is like driving you like crazy. She's like, this is like, she's like, are you really gonna let this like ruin your life? Like, she's like, is it worth, like, say you do recover from all your injuries and you run like 355 in the mile, like are you really gonna let that ruin like all your relationships you have? Just like when you're dead, like, and you literally get in front of the throne of the Lord, like is he gonna ask you how fast you ran the mile in? And I, oh, like probably like that's not gonna happen. So I know, right, bro? Like looking back, I'm like, oh my goodness, Jackson. So then I just had to step back. So then like all like spring, summer, 4 or 5 months, I was just like a lot of like working with therapists and like medication management, that kind of stuff, and just like kind of taking a step back from running. And I took a course, actually. It's weird because like, dude, like fruit's found in the valley, bro. Like I took a course at Lutheran Church of Hope called Alpha, and it was like an introduction to Christianity. And it was pretty much like everything that I missed that I thought I knew. And like, I kind of lost my faith at that point. And I'd say that course was like one of the big things that got me back into my faith. And like, I just felt the call from the Lord, like to move into like vocational ministry for a lot of different reasons. And like, I at first felt like I wasn't like worthy of that. But then I realized like, dude, like I'm so broken, and like Christ, like the Bible even says like Christ is made strongest in our weakness. So like Christ is going to be made strong in my story. Like Christ is going to move through my story. So yeah, then had some connections out here at Montreat College, North Carolina, and was pretty opposed to running initially, being on the team. But after a few talks with the coach, Coach Lukowitz out here, I was really like, all right, this is the kind of guy that like is a growth over performance guy and wants to like mentor me and like help me grow as like a young Christian man. So yeah. And now I'm here and just still working through some injury stuff. Well, I'll just put a stem cell. I'll just say stem cell. Had a stem cell injection into my patellar tendon to like pretty much shore up all the healing for good about a month ago now. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good. And rehab's going well. I've got a really good physical therapist out here that I'm close with. Yeah, so that's where we're at.
I think that, you know, synopsis of what happened, like it's been a long story, and you gave us just a little general like sneak peek into it. It's going to be super helpful. But let's move back so we can kind of go step by step throughout high school. Your junior year, you know, you had a pretty decent season, your track season, and you know, you ran some decent times, but then you raced one time postseason, like after state track. And then I remember, you know, getting a call or watching like FaceTime or whatever video, you ran 154. This was back in, you know, when 154 was fast. Like nowadays everyone runs 154, but like pre-super shoes or whatever. Well, maybe pre-super shoe. But
when super shoes just started coming out.
Yeah. So it just was getting to the point where like it was getting faster, but very impressive time for a junior. like yeah. one of the fastest times in the state, like ever. And we're like, okay, you know, Jackson's figuring it out. And then at that moment, it kind of just felt like there was not really much of a decision. You went on a few visits and you were just like, nope, I know where I'm going to go. And this is like the path I'm going to take. So what were you thinking after you ran the 154?
Like in a college sense or just like mental sense?
Both. First, okay. Like in a mental sense.
Like mentally, I would say it's weird because like I'm still having a hard time. Like, I don't think there was one like flip switch where it was like, all right, all in. I think it was just like a gradual, like the enemy works over time, right? Like, and just like telling us small little lies, like over the course of a long period of time. So I just think that like at that point, like I had started dating this girl and then kind of got my identity wrapped up in her, which was really unhealthy for me. And then I kind of stopped talking to some of my friends that were like actually really good for me, but like they weren't runners. So I was like, I only want to be around runners. Like running is all I care about. Like running is my number one passion. So like, why am I going to want to be around people who aren't runners and like who don't have the same mindset as me? So I think that's where I like just like flip mentally, and like just my day in day out was like all running. And now I'm kind of learning like when I go into PT for rehab or when I go to cross train, I'm actually starting up on the elliptical in like 2 weeks, which I'm excited about. But like when I'm going in to get my workout in, to like get my work in, like that's when I'm zoned in. I focused, I locked in. But like after that, the whole rest of the day, like I still have to like be a runner and like get to sleep and like eat the right things. But like, I'm not trying to talk about running all day long, like anymore. just like kind of learning how to like, just like compartmentalize it to an extent and kind of keep it in its place has been big for me. Then like collegiately, like college wise, it was just like, it's weird, man. And I'm going to make it very clear. I'm not throwing anyone under the bus. But like my mom was like, and she'll admit it too, like she was very like dead set on me going to academy. Because like I showed an interest in it and I was probably going to thrive there. And like, it was just like kind of a golden ticket, like business wise. And like every parent wants to see their kid succeed financially and like have a stable job and stable income. So like, I didn't have an option, I think, to go to a different school, but like I also chose to not have a different option, because if I would have told her like straight up been like, hey, like I want to go run at Wisconsin, or like I want to go run at Iowa, like she would have supported it. But I just felt like I couldn't tell her that.
So what colleges did you visit then?
I visited officially, I think it was just West Point Naval Academy and then Air Force Academy. Just weird. Just like it was pretty much my life for like 4 years. It's like my goal was just like get into an academy. And like now I'm not at one of them.
But I mean, it seemed like when I was talking with you in high school, you were super excited about this decision. You knew that this is where you wanted to be at. And you knew that like this is where you belonged. You made that decision. I'm sure it took a little bit of stress off of you. Like you had no further, you didn't really have to perform for any colleges anymore. What was it like when you made that decision? Was it freeing?
You know, I don't really know the answer to that, to be honest. I definitely know it wasn't freeing. I wouldn't say it was freeing. I would just say it was like, I don't know, one stress traded in for another, probably. It was like, all right, the stress of like, I guess it was just stress of like feeling like I had to perform to like get Air Force's attention. And then like, I had to feel like I performed just to like prove some obscure validation to myself. Like I wasn't feeling like I had to prove anything to anyone. Like in reality, like all of us, like let's look at a big picture. Like we're all 2-3 years removed from high school. Like no one cares what Jackson Mace Manor ran at Drake Relays in Iowa like 2 years ago. Like that literally does not matter. Like no one cares. Like I don't know how else to put it. Like you're not okay, cool. Like you were in a paper for a small freaking town in Iowa a couple times. Like you're not Centrowitz. And even then, 99% of people in the general population don't know who Matthew Centrowitz is, right? So like, like I didn't have to prove anything to anyone else. I just felt like I had to prove a lot to myself. So yeah, it was just treading in one stress for another, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, it's a lot easier to look back, but in the same way, we're doing the same thing. Like in high school, yeah, it was cool. Like I want to run fast because
I'm known for the guy who runs fast in my small 1A school who's got 36 people in their graduating class. Like, oh, that's cool. I'm impressing 36 people, you know, times three or times four or whatever. Like, wow, that's awesome. But in the same way, I'm still doing it now. I'm still wanting to be like the fast kid in college. And there's a fine line between like, you're given this gift and you're wanting to like put everything in the basket. And I think I do it for more than just like, obviously the praise and whatever of being known as the runner, more so for like self-improvement and like knowing that if I put my mind to something that I can actually accomplish it. Mm-hmm. But you move and you transition after a decently long track season, you move and transition to cross country and it starts out pretty rough. Like we know Jackson Mace isn't like incredibly talented at like long distance events, but you start out probably on a high. You just ran fast in the 800 and then you just like committed to a school or whatever. And then the cross season, walk us through that cross season.
Yeah, man, it was like, dude, it's so interesting because now I'm just like looking back and like seeing like how my mind was working. And like, I think I opened up at like 1750. Like it was like so we're like slaughtering that time right now in Iowa, right? Like it was horrible. And I mean, like my life was a mess for like a month. Like I would call to like, I like this people piss me off when they like hate on Tillis. Like I would call Tillis like crying. Like I called him multiple times, just like crying. That's like probably that cross season, like saying, I'm like, I like, there was a couple like conversations with family that like I blew up on them. And like, yeah, I was just really like, even then I wasn't in a good headspace. Like if you lose a couple races and like you're off track, and I want to make this very clear, like if you lose a couple races and you're off track and your life is a mess and like you feel ruined, like, all right, like let's take a step back and like look at like what's actually wrong. Cause like, it's not you running bad. Now I also get like, when you give a lot to something, you want to perform well, like that's just a reality. But I think it was more than just like wanting to perform well. So yeah.
What do you think it was then? If it wasn't just like performing well, what led you to like some uncontrolled emotions?
So I think it comes down to why. And people usually ask why and they stop at why. And one thing that God has been teaching me the past couple months is why is a refinement word, right? So like, why was I running? I look at this stuff. I look at this now. Like, why did I want to be so good at running? Well, because I loved it. And like, why did I love it? And like, it stopped there. Like, I didn't know why I loved running. And like, now I look back and I'm like, I love running because I needed like the stupid amount of dopamine that it gave me to medicate my like childhood wounds and this stuff that I struggled with throughout middle school and out of high school. Like, and I think that was my why. And like, then you rip out that band-aid of running. And then all of a sudden for a month in cross country season, like all my just like insecurities were like right there to me and I'm not performing. So I'm like, just feel like crap about myself, you know? So I think it was just a band-aid. Like that's really all it was. I think it shifted probably like at the beginning of junior track season, probably is when it like shifted and become something that into becoming something that I just enjoyed to like being a band-aid for me.
Mm-hmm. To a certain extent, like when those performances don't happen, the band-aid's getting peeled away and you're kind of getting a glimpse of what's actually going on. Yeah. But it didn't get fully ripped off. It kind of got stuck back on once you're running some faster times. And like, you know, at Warburg, a super fast course, you ran like 1740 or something. And we're like, what is going on with Jackson? Like, he is not running fast at all. Like, there's girls that are now running that fast.
Yeah, that was Williamsburg that I ran like 1740. Okay. That was the best. But Warburg is when I actually ran, like, I ran, that's when I broke 16. So that was like,
okay.
Okay.
So then you were getting the band-aid ripped off a little bit, and then you ran Warburg. You ran pretty fast. Yeah. We're like, okay, Jackson's figuring it out. And then you ended the season running, you know, you got fourth in a loaded field, like, Aiden Ramsey and like an actual loaded 3A field at state cross. Some may say that was like a good thing, but it might have been a better, you know, time to rip that band-aid off so you could like heal. But what were you feeling at the end of that cross season?
Well, now we say loaded, but now I mean I was looking at I don't keep up with Iowa much anymore, but I was looking at state results from this year. I ran 16:10, like 16:05 my senior year and got fourth. And like, I think 16:05 like barely got you top 15 this year. Or maybe so it's like not like, dude, it's changed. But like, what was I really thinking? Dude, it was just on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't really any like, all right, like let's take a break. I was just like, I need more. Like, that's all what I need more. Which like isn't a bad thing to want to like want more. Like wanting things isn't a bad thing, but I was like, I just like craving. Like that's all. I was just obsessed with more. It's kind of my mindset. Kuhn was like, take it. I remember like Kuhn was like, bro, like, why don't you take more time off? I'm like, dude, like I can't. Like, I need to run fast. Like, and also, I mean, I was fit. Like, I will give it that. Like, I physically, I was really fit. So I was like, I gotta get like a good mile in, you know, before like after cross, like off my cross fitness. So I don't regret it, but like just looking back, I'm like, sometimes I wish the band-aid would have been ripped off earlier.
Yeah, but it all happened for a reason.
Exactly. And yeah.
Then, you know, you were like, okay, Tillis, I don't want to take any time off. Let me, you know, do a mile or whatever. He's like, okay, well, put something together if you really want to do this. And so I remember pacing you for a mile. And but Tillis was not happy with my pace job. Well, I mean, I'm going to justify my actions here a little bit. I came through like 200 split pretty much on. I mean, a little fast, but like that's a mile. And then 300 split, I was on, but Jackson clips my heel and he steps on it. So then I surge because I'm like, okay, he wants to move a little faster. So I like put in a 50 meter surge or whatever. And then I hear Tillis across the track say some, he was basically just said, Riley, maybe you shouldn't do that is pretty much what he said. And so I almost messed up his race, but I guess I did because you were trying to run sub 420. And I think you ran 421 or something.
Yeah,
421 with some mediocre pacing, but it all worked out.
Yeah, so it did.
So you ran that, and then I think we ran a couple indoor meets, or maybe after that you got your wisdom teeth pulled out. But then you got your wisdom teeth, and then you took some time off. What were you thinking during that, you know, couple days, 8 days? I don't remember how long you took off. What were you feeling like when you couldn't run? Was it hard for you, or were you just like, okay, I shut my brain off, and now it's time to veg out a little bit?
Dude, it was like, it's so interesting to look back and just like, I swear, I'm majoring in Bible and theology. I need to minor in like psychology or something, just because like looking at the way my brain was working and like my mind was functioning, like then it was so interesting. But it was like, dude, it was a living hell for like 8 days. Like I literally, I was like telling you before we started, like I could not like live in my mind. Like I had such a hard time living in my mind without running. Like if I didn't get that dopamine hit daily, like I was just couldn't function well. Like that's the best way I can explain it. Like I couldn't function well relationally or like emotionally or spiritually, even really. So yeah, it was just like a sneak peek into like what my injury was about to be like, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you got a little bit of a glimpse, but fortunately, or honestly, unfortunately, like fortunately at the time, you know, yeah, your wisdom teeth are going to heal. You're going to get back, and you were back after it pretty soon afterwards. And then you trained, you had a pretty good training block that winter. I mean, we were putting in upwards of 4 miles or 4 workouts a week. We were grinding tempo runs and stuff. Like, I know that was not your favorite to do, but like that was a tough winter. We took it up a little bit of another level. I mean, we're trying to bring Iowa running to actually like something that people cared about. Like we were probably like bottom 30 in the rankings when it comes to like national state sports. Like our Iowa track was just, it kind of sucked. And we made a difference. Like we brought it up to, I don't even know what it is now, but definitely higher than it was when our junior year. So we did some work, we got better. And we're kind of setting a standard for what it took to be like an elite runner. Like no longer was 16:20 going to be a decent time. You had to run a whole lot faster. No longer was 4:20 like this magic number that's going to like get you a full ride to Iowa State or something. No, we're like, okay, this is kind of pathetic. If we're looking at other states, let's make a difference here. And I think Tillis played a big role into that. And I think like, I'd like to say we had a little bit of a role in that, like up in the level of workouts and up in like actually what it took. So indoor season, how did that go? I know we went to a couple bigger meets and that was a whole lot of fun, but how
dude, that was I don't like looking back. I'm not like putting myself down, like putting, cause like, I'm like at the end of the day, I had fun. It was just like a lesson learned. I'm like, God is sovereign and God works through all of it. So, dude, indoors, just like literally like with you guys, I had so much fun. Like it was not even funny. It was like a blast, bro. I still like to this day haven't ever had that just like tight knit of a team environment. Like that was so much fun. But yeah, like indoor bro, the Airbnb, Arkansas, bro, and Luke. Bro, I wish you would have gone to Virginia Beach, man. That was, bro, with Tempest. Oh, yeah. Man. That kid, I haven't talked to him for a while, but that kid was so funny. He could crack me up. And Tillis is hilarious. I ended up playing with Ben Tillis for like all the way to Virginia Beach, all the way back. Like spend like a whole like 4 days with him. Like it's an interesting experience. It was like, but no, indoor season, like physically, bro, I was lights out. Like I didn't. Yeah. Like, I think maybe besides, like, doubling into 800 to Arkansas, like, I didn't have really a bad race all indoor. Like, I think every race was, like, a PR or, like, close to it. Like, I was, whether it was, like, DMR at Northwest Missouri State, Chicago 800, Arkansas 16, like, Virginia Beach. Like, I was pretty much good in every race. Like, there wasn't a race that I was bad in that I just crapped the bed. So, I was lights out. I had a lot of fun. I don't regret it. Not something I would like the way I did it. I wouldn't do it again. But like, I think if I get that back to that level, like I think I can do it in the right way now. Yeah.
You went to Virginia Beach. That's where Nationals was held. You got second in the mile. I mean, you could have won if you ran it a little bit differently.
You know who raced me, right? Rocky Hansen.
No way. It was Rocky.
Yes, you know what? Yes, it was Rocky. Dude, I have a picture. That's my claim to fame here. So I'm in North Carolina and Rocky's like, he's like an hour or two from here. And like everyone in North Carolina knows Rocky. And I'm like, you know what? I took Rocky to the line his junior year. I was like now the guy is he's one of the best in the NCAA. Like opened up at like 23:30 for a true freshman for weight.
Yeah, insane.
And broke four in the mile, everything. But yeah, so that was interesting.
And Jackson will speed in, but you came off a little bit of a high. I mean, I don't know. You probably didn't look at it as a high. You're probably like, dang, I wish I would have beat this kid because I mean, you were winning for.
Yeah. Don't bother me. Yeah.
Yeah. A while, but you come off of it, probably a little bit of a confidence. Like I got second in the nation in the mile or 1600 or whatever it was. Then you move and transition to track season, outdoor track season. How did outdoor go for you?
Initially it was kind of rough. I didn't bomb any races, but I didn't run good necessarily for a while. I ran like 157 or something like that to open the year. And I thought I was in like 152, 153 shape. But we were like looking back, kind of ended up catering more to me towards the mile, 2 mile. And so I ran like 157, but I got my standards. I ran a 420.69. If you know, you know. I took Walker Drake. That was cool.
I remember getting a Snapchat. Bro, it's like, I'm retiring running.
Bro, I guess in that, I sometimes look back so on Instagram. That's actually posted on, you remember Terry Scott?
Yeah, I do.
It's posted on Terry Scott's Slay the Dragons track club. Like he's got, you know, like everyone. The guy just like is everywhere, like in like high school running. Terry, Terry Scott. Terry, if you're listening to this, bro.
You're weird. Get a job or something.
Yeah, like, but that kid, yeah, so... I remember posting on my Snapchat and he was like, can I repost this on my Instagram? I was like, go for it. And then all of a sudden it's on Slay the Dragons Trap Club. Like, yeah, no, I had a fun outdoor season. But I think it was like difficult, like transitioning from like indoor to like where I was just with you guys. And then like outdoor where I was like kind of expected to be a part of my team. And then like I had a lot of pretty good 4-8 teammates, like a lot of like 50 flat, 2 flat guys. I was pretty, I'm not hard on them even. I was just not really like a supportive teammate and kind of thought that the only way of like actually contributing to a team was like time wise. And I was like, well, I'm contributing. Like I'm the number one contributor on this team. Like what else do you want from me? But now I just see that like you can support and contribute to a team a lot more than with the time. So yeah, I think that was just like difficult on me. And I kind of like put some big wedges in a couple of relationships with those guys. And those guys had been some of my good friends for a long time growing up. So that was pretty unfortunate. So I think that was difficult for me. And that like kind of got some just like lash back from the community in Newton, like not running for like some meets. And like, I wouldn't even show up to the meets to like to support teammates. I would just like do my thing, which like to an extent I needed to do my thing. Cause like Tills had me dialed in pretty well, but like I also needed to find a way to contribute like emotionally and support my teammates. So yeah, that was difficult for me. That was really difficult for me, but I had a pretty good ride. I just sought out for a season. I think outdoor wasn't as good as indoor my senior year, but like at the end of the day, like I think I could have ran a lot faster than the 2 mile. Like I wish I would have been able to get one good 2 mile in. Like there was rabbit mile after like I ran 409 because I think I was like 855 shape, to be honest with you. Even when Tillis and I tested at the end of the year, like I was in pretty good 2 mile shape. But at the end of the day, like you're always gonna have like, I'm like, oh shoot, like if I could have ran, say I were 855, then I'm like, I want to go under 850. Then I'd been like, I want to go 407, then I want to go 1-1. So it's just a spiraling hole. Like you're never gonna get everything you want. So
when you're going through your little recap of what happened over the past couple of years, I've never heard you actually, you know, regret some of your actions in high school. You said I was a little bit of a D-bag, which I've never heard you say anything like that, which, you know, being your friend, I always took like that side, like, no, like it, Jackson was just excited when he won races. And, you know, everyone, you know, lets the emotions get the best of them a little bit when they finish races. But after Drake relays in the 800 meter, like we knew like this was your shot to win this thing. And your way of doing it was just to, you know, like the Prefontaine method, you just go out there and, you know, use what you have left. You just run as fast as you can for 2 laps. And that's what's it's going to take. And I was gaining on you, and we go 1-2 in the 800, and you finish. And like, this is the first like really big thing other than, you know, maybe second at nationals, or probably first big thing that you've won in high school, like actual big thing. You've won plenty of races, but something that actually like really mattered. Like you do your little celebration or whatever. I didn't think anything of it. I was like, yeah, like you won drag relays. Like you got a white flag. Like this is a pretty big deal. And then, you know, the whole state was like, that might have been a bit much. Like, what was he doing there? Like, is that really necessary? And I don't know if this is like the point you were making when you're like, I maybe did some actions that I probably shouldn't have. What were you feeling after you finished that 800?
So going into that race, I wanted to get one flag, and I knew I had a shot to get one flag. But I remember watching the night before Drake, Ben sent a picture of him and Alan Webb at Drake Relays, like in our group chat. Like the Accelerate group chat, like from like 10 years ago or whatever. And I was like, I want to watch Alan Webb. And like Alan Webb was like, I idolized Alan Webb like all throughout senior year of high school. And like there was one race for Alan Webb, I think it was 05, 06, something like that. Maybe it was 04 trials. But Alan Webb, it was a US championship. And Alan Webb, I don't remember the guy he beat out, but he beat out a guy and it was like 95 degrees down. Alan Webb, like, beat out this guy and just like gapped him last 100 meters. Like Alan was a dog. Now Unigoose is like there. Like Alan Webb was a really, really good American miler. And like he just like after the race, like he just beat the crap out of the track and like just like be screaming. And like now like I'm looking back and I'm like, dude, like we're so quick to when we accomplish these things, like beat our own chest and like point to ourselves. Like at the end of the day, like when we accomplish things, like it's just all just the blessings that God has like entrusted us with, right? So like God entrusted me with the blessing of running, the gift of running. Like even though I took like literal steps to get good at running, like God like put Tills in my life, like put you guys in my life, put my Newton coach, Coach Jarvis, in my life. And like financially I was stable, so I was able to like, you know, buy super spikes, that kind of stuff. So like God entrusted me with running, and like I didn't really like, I think especially at Drake, like that, between that and like my meltdown at state after the race, I just look back and I'm like, man, like winning or losing really like isn't like, is it's not the purpose, right? Like if you're giving every single ounce you have and pouring every bit you have into a race, like, and you're puking on the side, like dead exhausted, like you succeeded, like I don't care what your time was, like, you know, what your place was. Like I'm not saying time and places aren't good goals, because like they're good goals and winning is fun 100%, but like if you're giving your all, like that's what matters. Like we just talk about it, like all I just think about all the time, like growth over performance, you know. Yeah, I think that was one of the things I definitely didn't handle very well, for sure. I think Ramsey was really good with the way he like he was pretty chill when he won. He was a cool cat.
You know, Drake is decently close to state, so you might have took like, you know, up your training a little bit, got tapered down for state. I know you had a big workout before state. Like,
bro, that was the stupidest thing we ever did. I mean, maybe if Tilsa's on here, you would say differently, but like, I look back at that all the time. I'm like, what were we? So it was, so people who don't realize, we, can I tell it, Riley?
You
can,
yeah,
tell,
go for
so,
it.
So state at Iowa goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I was running four events at state, which is like a lot. And like coming off like 3 weeks before that, I had run Drake all out. And then I came back 2 days later and ran four races at conference in like the course of 4 hours. And like then state qualifying was a week after conference. And I ran four races in the course of like 3 hours, right?
In trainers, which you almost didn't make the 2 mile.
Yeah. I was in trainers. And that was like, well, it was like less trainers and more like I had like, after a mile, I had to poop so bad. And I was so like, yeah, but that did happen. But like that Sunday, Tilson and I ran a workout where I ran 421 going 215, 206, and like 10 minutes rest, 159 going like 61, 58, and then 5 minutes rest, then ran like 51 something. Like looking back, I'm like, that was like just really like mentally it, like I'm a confidence guy, so like I need that confidence, but like there's a balance, and I think we probably crossed the line then. I will also say I think that's probably the only time that Tillis and I ever really crossed the line in terms of training, like balancing confidence and ripping the crap out of something, because that was just like not, I think that really left me pretty exhausted for state. So yeah, it was not necessary, like at all.
Well, I mean, look at like the on guys. They did a workout before a race, like Yard and Goose and them. They did a workout before a pretty big 3K indoor, I believe. And it was like a 401 mile, you know, some crazy 152, 800s, like a workout very similar to that. And if I was looking at that workout and I was analyzing it and be like, what is the actual purpose of this? I'm going to say, nothing other than confidence. Like they walk away from that. Like I was able to do that. So I'm guessing that was the purpose behind that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to a certain extent, like it gave you some confidence, but then it might take a little bit out of you for like the week to come. But it happened. I mean, that's the you roll the dice. Like it might have worked, or it might not have. And then you,
if I would have taken everything at state, like we've been like, oh, best workout like ever, right? Like
it's, right, exactly. And then you got ready for state. You're like, okay. Beginning of the season, you in the indoor, like you beat Ramsey in, was it the 2 mile?
16.
You beat Ramsey in the 16. And we're like, okay, like this is a glimpse of maybe what's to come. We're probably like, okay, Ramsey ran really well at Drake 3200. He's probably going to take that. You know, you're going to give it a shot. The 800, you were the Drake champ in that. We're like, okay, Jackson's probably got the 800. And the 16 was probably, I mean, it was the race to watch. Like you beat him once. So you've got one on him, but you know, what's going to happen. And so 32 is first, you race Ramsey and Ramsey comes away with the win, which the way Iowa track is designed is probably not the most ideal for a runner like you.
Yeah.
Like you were able to walk away with a decent finish in the 32, but now your legs are shot because you just ran the almost one of the fastest 3200s you've ever ran. And you got to run three more events. So walk us through the next three events. What happens?
So I think from an emotional standpoint, the 16 at Drake became a problem because when I lost to Ramsey at the 16 at Drake, that, like, I don't think I ever lost sleep over it, but I remember every day it bothered me like a lot. And looking back, like that probably was one of the most well-executed, like just dogs that I was in a race ever. I mean, like I remember like that Drake 16 was like, it was like 45 out. It was like 20 mile an hour wind, rainy. And I was like, heck no, like I'm bawling, like I'm going to be a dog. And I was a dog, but like Ramsey just came up better, which is like, okay, it's not a big deal. But yeah, looking back, like that bothered me that much, probably shouldn't have been that much of a problem. And like people can respectfully disagree with me, but I think if I'm kind of now saying like, if I'm giving every ounce I have and like I'm a dog, like I did what I needed to do. But yeah, that one really bothered me a lot. And then going to state, like, it was pretty much all like, all right, what are we going to do to beat Ramsey? What are we going to do to beat Ramsey? What are we going to do to beat Ramsey? And, like, that's all Ben and I talked about, which, I mean, I don't know. It is what it is, but it's all we talked about instead of just having fun and, like, ripping workouts and having fun in races. And state, yeah, 32, that was kind of designed for me to lose. Like, I was, like, I knew in that race, I was like, when he takes off, just let him, like, as long as I beat Shane and I get second, like, I'm fine. Because we need the team points. And we're like 9:30. But that day, it was like, people don't realize, like, that was like 95 degrees. Mm-hmm. Like, in that. So, I mean, like, me being a bigger runner, like, I was at the time, like, 170, 6 foot. And, like, that's, like, that heat is a lot. It takes a lot out of me. And then the second day, the DMED, I ran the 8 leg. And this is, like, this is a crazy story, but I didn't tell this to a lot of people. A lot of people don't know this. I don't even know if Tillis knows this, but my teammates, like, I'll say it, like, they didn't run very good. Like, they didn't, like, we were trying to shoot up for a win and they didn't run great. And I got the baton down by a lot and just, like, freaking ripped the absolute living crap out of the first, like, 200 and 400. And I came through the first two at, like, 25 flat. Came through four at like 52 flat. And then right when I copped to Ramsey in first at the six, I think I was at like 119 flat. Like, that's how Tillis started it, which is like, my VLA was not near enough high to run that. And then, like, he just, like, smoked me the last 200. And I was like walking it in, like, for that. I think come through at 119 at six and then finish I think my final split was like 156. Like, now I had like literally a 40 second last 200.
I was in California, not to diverge the conversation, but I was in California and I ran 119 for the 600. I fell and my shoe came off and then I ran 156. So we had the same splits, but I fell and my shoe came off. So if that tells you how lactic Jackson was in the last 200 meters, that's how much. Enough for me to fall, have my shoe come off, and finish with that only one shoe in the last 200.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. So yeah, then like after, so this is where it like gets pretty like sad, to be honest with you. But after that race, I was like quite a bit of F-bombs at my teammates. And I was like, you got to get your crap together. Like, for me to split my four is like almost as fast as your 400. Like, for me to split my first lap is almost as fast as your open, like, as your four leg was like ridiculous. And like, which, like, to an extent, I was like, okay, like, kind of frustrating. I didn't run good. Like, I won't lie about that. But like, I literally like I got back to our camp and like, there was like this soccer goalpost. And I was like, those effing idiots. And I just like kicked the crap out of the soccer goalpost, kicked the crap out of it as a second day. And then my school coach, Coach Jarvis, which, like, I'm super close to him still. Like, we still talk once every couple of months, probably. And he was like, man, he's like, you cannot. He's like, that's not the Jackson I know. And I was like, oh, frick. So I felt horrible about that. But and I had to move on. And then state, yeah, the last day I was just smoked. Like, no, I think no matter what I would have done, like, Ramsey was just better. Like, that's just the reality. And beat me in the eight, came up with the eight. And then the 16, I was just like, gas. So I got third in that and got the team points though. We got third. That's the highest Newton track has finished like in a long, long time. I think that's probably the highest they finished maybe ever. So that was pretty cool, to be honest with you. Looking back, it was cool that we had that third place trophy. But yeah, I didn't really handle state track very well. And then like I had that like massive meltdown. Like I remember so specifically, like I had that like after the 16, I was like just crying. And then which like I gave a lot to it, so like it makes sense. But at the same time, I don't think it was super mature, probably. And like I just remember like talking to you, Carson. You guys like just encouraging me and be awesome. And then I remember picking up. I didn't cool down or anything. I don't think I picked up my bottle, like my half drank bottle of like great Pedialyte, and I went into the like the outhouse like bathrooms, and like I just cried for like 30 minutes. I think that was like the first time that I ever like really experienced like, I guess I hate using the word, but like depression, like as a whole, and just feeling like, I was like, if I can't perform, like I literally had such a hard time. And like, I couldn't sleep that night after. Yeah, that bothered me a lot. So like looking back, I'm like, man, like that, it makes a lot of sense why it happened. That's what I'm saying, kind of. Yeah. Yes, I definitely didn't handle it in a very mature way. But at the same time, like, what else can you expect out of a 17-year-old who like is kind of getting everything that he dreamed of, right? You can't really expect much out of a 17. You can't expect a lot of a 19-year-old now. Like, you know what I mean? So
then where do you go from there? You're, you know, sitting in a bathroom, drowning your tears with Pedialyte. But like, where do you go from there? You've had, you know, a full training block of, you know, 6, 7, 8 months, all leading up to this one race, these four races, this one weekend, and it doesn't go how you want. Where do you go from there?
Thing, like, I didn't know where to go. Like at the end of the day, like that's all I knew was like getting back on the saddle and pushing even harder. Like that's all I knew. Like that was like ingrained in me literally. So like that's exactly what I did. Like I got back on the saddle. I think I took like a day or two off after state and then got back on the saddle and like we started training for the next month to try to run a couple of fast postseason races. I got kind of sick and I ran 152 when I was sick, which is pretty cool with you and Craig. That was a good experience. And then ran 409, which is like pretty, that was pretty cool. I was just so awesome. Cause like, I think I handled that one well because like, I didn't really care that what I placed. I didn't care that I ran. I cared that I went under 410, but like at Festival of Miles, like I dogged the last like 50 meters and at Wisco, I gave like every ounce I could. And like, if I give every ounce I can, like it's a success no matter what. But yeah, I think Wisco, I handled it well. I was with Craig and that's kind of, I think that's what like sparked off like Craig and I really getting close. Now we're like best friends. So
yeah,
that was pretty cool. But yeah, all I knew was getting back on the horse. Like if you ask like, where did I go from there? I was like, all right, get back on the horse, work even harder and like do it out of your own power, right? Get the world, Scarface, the world is yours. That was just like my mentality. So yeah, that's all I knew.
Then you took some time off. You took a chunk of time off. You're like, okay, I need to fully recover for basic training.
Yeah.
And then you had to leave early that summer. You didn't get like the full summer training or whatever. You had to bounce to Colorado and go to basic training. You did that. And that's when a little bit of an injury started. You really have had a pretty injury-free like high school or whatever. You never sat out for anything. And then this was the first thing. Was it something in basic training that kind of sparked it or what do you think?
Yeah. So dude, one thing that has been kind of cool is, so like if I wasn't going into like ministry vocationally, like I can confidently say I'd be like a physical therapist or an athletic trainer because I learned a ton about just like the human body and the way it works. So yeah, I had a grade 2 stress reaction. It's not super bad in my tibia. I was in a boot for a couple of weeks because of that. And then just like developed some like tendinopathy. Some tendonitis in my patellar tendon, which is like jumper's knee. Like for a lot of basketball players, it happens. It's not a super big deal, but it can turn like bad quick. Like if you train on it, like it, so like tendon pathology, like tendons become inflamed. There's an inflammatory response, but then if you keep training and keep putting load on that inflammatory response and let it calm down, then it turns degenerative. And then my tendon turned degenerative essentially. Got pretty bad. Yeah, it got bad during basic pretty much. And then it never, like I said, like I didn't really see a doctor. Like my ATs were kind of just like training through it. It just didn't feel good. So I was eventually told my coaches, I was like, I can't run through this. And then I didn't run from like all of, I didn't run really, except for a couple of times in the Ultra G and like some cross training kind of stuff from like beginning of November to like this summer, pretty much.
So you took a chunk of time off. Were you like completely in the dark in this full situation, or did you know like what was the return plan, how long it was going to take to recover, like what was that protocol looking like?
I kind of knew what it looked like, but also like it was getting to a point where like we were doing all these things to like heal it and like nothing was really working. And now I kind of look back and I think like that might have been like, I'm not one of those who's like, I believe that God can work supernaturally without a doubt, but like, I don't think God is like a miracle. I'm not going to say that. God is definitely works miracles, but like God isn't a genie. Right. But I think maybe like logically, if I'm thinking here, like God might've really had his hand in my injury and kind of like keeping it around for quite a while. We kind of knew what the protocol was like to get back. I had PRP, platelet-rich plasma, over like winter break, and then like came January, February, PRP like improved the tendon and it felt good, but it wasn't like to the full point where it had to be. And we were talking before the podcast, like I definitely think there's a level that I've psyched myself out with this injury, like feeling a little pain. I'm going to come back in January. I'm going to start running here in Montreat. And like, I'm kind of like telling myself like, hey, like feeling a little pain is going to be okay the first like couple of weeks, couple of months, maybe in the first year, but like eventually like, this is going to go away. But yeah, so it was kind of up in the air, to be honest with you.
As an outsider looking in, you can kind of pick a few areas where you're like, okay, here was God sprinkling in a little bit of like adversity. Like, you know, you get second in the nation, like, okay, here's a little disappointment. Now figure out that this thing matters more than it actually should in your life. Oh, nope. He's getting back on the saddle. He doesn't care. He's just going to work harder instead of actually like dissecting what's going on here. A little disappointment in the season, not running as well. Nope. Just working hard here, you know, Drake. This is, you know, maybe a little bit too much of your life. Maybe it's an idol in your life. Nope, working harder. And then it got to the point where like, okay, let's actually teach Jackson a lesson here. I mean, it's kind of like the story of Job. Like he gives a little bit of like adversity, a little bit more adversity. And then, okay, I'm taking it away from you until you actually figure it out. Yeah. And he had to do that. Like he took it away from you. None of these for a decently simple injury, like none of these interventions are working. I don't know. Our medicine is pretty good to like figure that stuff out. So what was it that was actually causing that? You know, as a fellow believer, like I would guessing that's exactly what happened. God was like, all right, I'm taking it away from you until you learn your lesson. like a child. I mean, a sovereign father trying to teach you a lesson. And so what was that breaking point where he was like, okay, I'm taking it away. When did you actually start to, you know, completely rip that Band-Aid off and start healing?
I went eight, nine months with my Band-Aid ripped off. So like slowly over time, it just broke me down to a place where I wanted to like die, but like just living life was just living, like getting up every day was like impossible for me. It was so hard for me. And yeah, I think it was like the point over spring break where I was just a mess and my life was kind of a mess. Like I was trying to, at the time, wanted to transfer and thought that would solve the problem. But like in reality, that's just gonna like, you're just trading one thing for another at the end of the day. So I had some like, just like fights with friends and then like family about that. And then yeah, I think it was after spring break when I got out of my inpatient like mental health facility where I was like, all right, like I think it's time to just talk with my mom and with my friends. I got a couple of really like really close friends in Newton, and like just I should talk with Craig too. Like we were just like, all right, like it's time to kind of like take a step back from running. And I remember so specifically, I told my stepdad, David, I'm really close with him. I said, I will never run again because of what I feel like this has done to me. And he was like, you will. Like, he's like, you will run again one day. He's like, you're just going to have to learn how to do it in a healthy way. And now I'm like looking at, I'm excited to start back up in only a couple weeks, to be honest with you. So all of spring, being back home for all of like March and April and May, while everyone else is at school, then June, July, August was really just me just like healing and just focusing on like, all right, like what's actually the problem? Like, what am I trying to cover up? Like, what do I feel insecure about? And like, just being so honest with myself and brutally honest with myself and just ripping open like my insecurities. And just, I would say the best way I can describe it is like the enemy, like Satan told me so many lies, and I finally realized how many lies Satan was telling me. And then I combated that with truth and I replaced it with truth in my life. So that's the best way I can explain it.
I remember spring break. I had a stress fracture. I was still running on the stress fracture, but I was doing a lot of cross training because of that. And on the way to the Y one time, I was going swimming and either you called me or I called you. I don't remember what happened, but I was talking with you and I knew you were struggling with some things and you had your injury or whatever. And you were talking about transferring and you still had what I know of, like, Jackson Mace. You still were talking to me about, you know, crazy goals and aspirations that you had. You were talking about running, you know, 355, 356 or whatever as a senior, and you're wanting to, you know, win a national title wherever you're at. And I was like, okay, this is a Jackson I know. He's on the up and up. He knows what he's going to do. And then not soon after that call is when it got dark again. It was so evident to me that it looked like you were on the up and up. It looked like you were trying to find a way. You were still motivated to get back on the saddle and try it again. Forgive me for asking the question again, but was there a moment, or was it just a quick deterioration from that point?
There was definitely a moment that kind of like sparked it all. I don't want to say violent, but it's pretty heavy. Like, it's something that I'll share one-on-one, but like on a pod, yeah, probably isn't the best thing.
Yeah.
But there was a moment over spring break where it was like, all right, like, things have gotten really bad. But like, that's what I want to make clear is like, what's going on in someone's head behind the doors? Like, people need to think about this, especially in the running community, because that's what we were talking about this before. Like, if I firmly believe this now, if you are taking time off running or you are injured in your life, like, you, there's one thing of like being disappointed you're injured, right? Like, people get disappointed when they have stress fractures. Like, I know Kuhn has a stress fracture right now, but I think like it's hard, but like the way I was talking to him, the way he kind of talked in the pod, it's like, all right, like, we're getting through, like, it's all right.
Yeah.
Like, if you're injured and like you can't stand living with yourself without running, like, you have a problem. And like, that's where I was like, I have a problem. So like, people think I'm doing well and I'm running all these fast times my senior year of high school, but like, no one's looking at like a 6-year sex addiction. Like, no one's looking at my parents' divorce and like, I just, what divorce does to a kid, like, at seventh grade. Like, no one's looking at like a relationship, like an estranged relationship with my father. Like, no one's looking at that. And that's what, I'm not mad about it, but I'm just saying, like, people need to think about these things that are going on behind these closed doors. People that are drug addicts and homeless on the street aren't the only people in this world who are struggling. That's just the reality. I'm a very big believer, like, people need to start peeling back the layers and like being like asking deeper questions and like, are you actually doing well? You know? So yeah, man, I almost threw up a little bit talking about that stuff, but
yeah,
like, it's just, it's a lot. People thought I was doing well, but like, in reality, I was probably not doing the best for like two years straight almost.
And if we're to go back to the first question I asked you on this podcast, how has your perception of running and perception of like the pursuit towards excellence changed from, you know, all PRs? I want to run 1 or 355. I want to get a national title. I want to, you know, continue to run faster and faster too. Now you seem free. You're free of like, I am fine if I don't ever come back. Like, it's fine if I never put on the running shoes again. You seem excited.
Yeah.
But you're free to whatever happens and whatever God has planned for you. How has that perception changed?
Man, I would say, I talk with my coach here about this a lot. I think excellence now is like, I want to be excellent in all areas of my life. And you have to balance things, right? But like, God is calling me to be excellent in all areas of my life. But it takes balance. It definitely does. So now it's just a lot of, all right, like, I'm going to make this time for my friends. I want to make this time for PT. I'm going to make this amount of time for sleep because like, I still need to get good sleep. I still need to eat healthy, right? And like, I need to, like, school too. Like, school, bro, like, shoot, I cheated my way to all throughout high school. Like, I didn't do homework like once, maybe once or twice my senior year, right? And like at the academy too, like, I mean, I can say it now that I'm not there, but like, I was cheating my way through the academy too, yeah, right? Like, my first semester that I finished like a 2.1 GPA. So like, school, I didn't care about school. Like, school was not something that I wanted to be excellent in. But like, now it's okay, like, these are all responsibilities and all things that the Lord has entrusted me with. I need to do these all to the best of my ability. So that's how my just perception on that has changed. With running, I would say, like, that's big. I can say it's open-handed. Like, it is literally, I am so in love with running right now. And I want to make it clear, I still have my relapse bad days. I really do. Like, there are some days where I'm like, man, like I would do anything to get back, like to get back to the level that I was at. But then like, I just realized the lies that Satan's just trying to tell me throughout that. And I'm like, dude, I was kind of miserable when I didn't have running. So why would I want that back? I don't. I have no desire to go back there to that place. But now it's like open-handed. Like I'm the happiest and most content I've ever been in my life. And I haven't run for, I run a couple of times over the summer, but I mean, I really haven't trained for about a year. And like, I'm doing well. Like I wake up every day, I'm excited for life. Like I'm excited for what God has in store for me every day. I'm content with my life. And if running works out, like, cool. Like if I run, I was thinking about this. If I open my outdoor season this year at 4 flat in the 15, that's awesome. If I open it at 420 to 15, like, which might happen too, because I mean, coming back from a year is not easy. But if that happens too, like, all right, cool. Like I gave my best. I gave it what I could. But yeah, it's open-handed. And like, even we've talked about this a little bit, but like in terms of my love for running goes so much beyond competing now. I'm coaching a kid back home. I love doing that. I still listen to the pod. I listen with you and Kuhn. Like I enjoy listening to the pod. I keep up to date on running world decently, I would say. I love running more than I ever have, actually. So yeah, it's open-handed though. Like I think in some way, shape or form, I'm always going to be involved in the running community though. Like without a doubt, because I love the sport. Yeah.
I don't think you know how excited that makes me and how like happy that makes other people. I remember we were going to lifting. We have lifting after practices last year. And Ryan Campbell, a teammate of mine, came up to me and was like, "Hey, Riley, did you see what Jackson posted on Instagram?" And I was like, "No, like what's up?" And he was like pretty serious when he said it. And he gave me his phone. And I like took it and just like read your post when you were talking about like how you decided to, you know, hang up the shoes. And I had to step away for a little while. And like, I didn't talk with anybody, you know, the rest of the day or whatever through lifting and stuff. Still got the workout in, but I was just like, my heart sunk when I saw that. I was like, dang, I just talked with him over spring break. He seemed excited. And like, this is happening, like, oh, this. And I had the same thought. I think it was most of the reason was I just didn't want to believe it. I was like, okay, Jackson's going to run again. Jackson's, you know, this is just a phase. It's going to a few weeks and he'll be back. But you were so shut off at that point. You said to your father, like your stepdad, "I'm never going to run again." What made you slowly open the door to maybe I will, until now, like you're pretty excited to get back to it?
It's really cool, actually. So I came to Montreat on my visit last, like late May, probably. I mean, early June. And I was so closed off to the idea of running here. I had no desire to run here. Cause like at that point there was still like, I'm still working through it. Like, I'm not sitting here saying like, oh man, never struggling with that old mindset ever again. Like, no, it's still a daily battle. Like, that's something I have to die to every single day. Right. But I got here on my visit and my mom was the one who talked with my coach here. Like, I didn't call him. I didn't text him. Like, my mom talked to him first. And I was like, man, mom, I don't want to run. And she was like, if we're going to go all the way out there, like, you might as well like talk to him. So I talk with him on the phone like once or twice before my visit. And I was like, all right, this guy's cool. Well, I think after my first phone call, it was like an hour long. And like, what I really noticed about it was different. Coach Lukowitz here, like, it was like our phone call was just like us sharing our story pretty much. And I mean, I told him a fair amount. And he was just telling me like how he got to know Jesus, like what his faith's like now, you know, about his family. And I think just like the fact that I could sit down and like not have to be like business oriented with him, like, all right, what are we going to run for times? Like, what are our goals? And we were just talking about like our faith in life and him just kind of being more of a mentor to me. Like, he said it really good one time. He said, "I want to coach. I don't want to give workouts." Two different things. And yeah, so I think that was like kind of warming up to the idea slowly. And then I came out here for my visit. So Montreat has like two different campuses. Their track is like 10 minutes away from the actual campus. So I came here on my visit to the actual campus. I was showed around, And then I met with the coach. And as we were driving to the track, to see the track, he was in a separate car and I was with my mom. And she's like, well, what do you think so far? I was like, I love the place, but I don't want to run, mom. I was like, I hate this sport. Like, it's done. She's like, oh, just see how the conversation goes. So Coach Luke and I, we got the track and we went on like a 2.5 hour walk. And it was just like us talking, like just sharing like struggles, you know, joys of life, like joys of running, struggles of running. And then I got back in the car with my mom and I was like, I think I want to like just see where this takes me. And I was like, okay, like that's why I think I'm going to try to run here. Since then, I mean, Coach Luke and I were pretty close. Like we text back and forth quite a bit. And then, I mean, he's one of those coaches, like I have like a weekly meeting with him where I just sit down and talk to him about life. And he just like, the thing that I think this is so cool. I'm never going to lose this. But like the coolest thing is like when he gets to pray over me. I just think that's so neat because Ben did that a couple times to me. And that was really cool. And then at Air Force, like being in a very secular environment, that was just really hard for me. And now being in a place where my coach can pray over me is really, really neat. So it was really cool. It was a really crazy story, but it's, I'm still warming up to the idea, right? Like,
yeah,
for the whole course of this first semester here, like it's been a slow, like warm up to the idea, you know? Yeah, it's definitely not a one-time flip the switch type thing. Like I'm slowly getting more kind of excited about it and falling back in love with the sport in a healthy way. So, yeah.
What's that process look like? How long until you actually get to start running and then competing?
Yeah, so I went down to Pensacola, Florida about a month and had what's called a bone marrow aspirate concentrate, otherwise known as BMAC, injection into my tendon. Because rehab was progressing pretty well throughout fall, but it was just not to the point where we wanted it to be fully. Like pathologically, the tendon was still having a hard time healing. So had that injection about a month ago, and then just done range of motion stuff for PT for about a month now. But next week, actually, this coming week, I start loading it, which I'm really excited about, and putting like actual load on it and set down, step ups, lateral lunges, that kind of stuff. And it's sore still, but it's a different kind of sore. It's more just like achy, I would say. So yeah, I'll be able to elliptical in a couple weeks here. And then over winter break, I'll really be able to start building back up strength in my quad because it's atrophied a little bit because I haven't really loaded it for about a month now. And I'll be able to elliptical over winter break. So hit the cross training and rehab pretty hard. And then our goal is January 15th. I don't know why, but I just needed a day just to like get me excited for it. But January 15th is when we're going to shoot for my first run back. And then from there, it's kind of just very, very slowly easing into it. And then my goal is to be able to run a couple races this outdoor season. That's my goal. But I also realize that like probably not going to be anything fast realistically, but my main goal is just to be able to have a really nice next summer of training and then be able to contribute to the team in cross. We have a pretty solid team here out here. Running 25-30, 25-40 is doable next year. So contribute to the team and love the sport for what it is and be open-handed with it. And like even we're talking about too, like if I go through this year and like, or if I go through the next like 2 years and it's like just not working out, like that's okay too. I want it to work out, obviously, but I'm not like heartbroken if it doesn't work out. I think that's one thing that I really missed is I didn't realize how many other skills and just like talents that I had outside of running in high school. So
we're nearing the end of our time here, but I really want to put a bow on this thing. If there was someone out there, first off, how would you identify, you know, when running or when your sport gets to a level where it might be a problem and you need to take a step back? How would you identify that?
Kind of like I said earlier, if you're taking time off and because everyone always told me, don't find your identity running and it stopped there. And I was like, okay, like how do I not? But if you're taking time off or you're injured and you're a mess, like you are having a hard time just like functioning as a like, human being, like something's wrong, you know, something's wrong. I would say it's one thing to be disappointed and sad about an injury. It's one thing to literally have a hard time just like living. So I would say you gotta be, use some discretion with that, but it's probably the big thing.
Now that you've identified the area where you're like, okay, I know that this thing is a problem. This sport of mine, this activity of mine is an idol in my life and a priority that's higher than it should be. How do you kind of bring that number one priority and reshuffle them so that the main thing is the main thing?
No, I think I get what you're saying. Okay. So I have, so number one is find your why. And why isn't a one-time word. Why is a refinement word. So ask yourself, I love running. Why do you love running? Well, because it makes you feel good. Why does it make you feel good? Like, why do you need to feel good? You know, well, then I look back and I'm like, well, it made me feel good about myself. And why do I need to feel good about myself? And it's like, well, because I had a lot of wounds and I had to heal. So find your why and make it a refinement word. Now my why is I want to, like, my base why is like, I want to run because I want to bring glory to the Lord and do something that the enemy used for evil for quite a decent amount of time. And I want to use it for good now. That's my base why. And I want to do that because I want to honor God. Then I'll leave people with this. Kind of going on a tangent here, but a fourth century leader of the Christian church, his name is Augustine. And Augustine wrote this book called Confessions. It's fourth century writing, so it's kind of difficult. But my teacher and I talked about it, one of my professors here. And he writes this thing in it about what do I love when I love my God? And it's essentially this concept that in a world where all loves are competing, love for God is exponential. And it's not that we have this certain amount of love that we have to distribute accordingly. It's the sense that when we love God the most, we're able to give more love to the lesser loves of the world. So that's why I say right now I am more in love with running than I ever have been because I love the Lord and the Lord is my strength. That's probably what I want to leave people with because that's the thing. Like the Christian life, I don't think is about, I mean, in a sense it's about giving up things, but I don't think it's about trading in loves. I don't think it's about that at all. You know,
it's more so keeping those priorities in check. Like I was just saying, like have that number one thing, the number one thing. And then if that number one thing is the Lord, then you're free to pursue other things and the other priorities in an intentionality that's completely different than everyone else. Mm-hmm. You're not pursuing running for worldly gain, for ego boosting, for, you know, dopamine hit when you finish a race. Sure, those are all good things if used right, if the intention's there. But what's the intention of these things? What's the intention of growing in relationships, growing in friends, growing in, you know, your self-improvement, building a business, running fast times? What's the intention of those? If intention is there and it's right because of that number one priority, you're doing it right. You're freaking it out. And Jackson, I really appreciate your time. And I feel and I sense the old Jackson coming back with a new light, like with a new set of priorities and a new intentionality that I think is going to be scary when you get back to the track. I'm so excited for it. I'm so happy that you're back. I'm so happy to talk to you today. I really think this podcast is going to be super helpful to everyone listening and probably one of our most listened to. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it, Jackson.
Well, there you have it. I do want to make one note about the workout before state that Jackson was talking about. It wasn't as ill-posed as you might think. Ben prescribed paces that were about 2 mile pace, mile pace, and then 800 meter pace. And Jackson completely disregarded them and ran much faster than he needed to. It was an impressive workout though, the way he ran it. But anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I did recording it. If you know of anyone who could benefit from this episode, which really I think any runner, and to be honest, any person who's really driven in their sport could benefit from this conversation, it would mean a lot if you shared it with them and then left a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. That helps get this podcast out to more viewers and share Jackson's story with the world. After Jackson graduated, Accelerate saw a lack in the mental side of sports performance, and now all of the Accelerate athletes have access to a sports psychologist and mental strength programming if they find a need. Reach out to me or Ben if you want to learn more about training plans or if you need us to get you connected with a sports psych, and we can go from there. If you want to leave a note of thanksgiving for Jackson for coming on the show today and sharing his story and honestly being vulnerable with us, the best place to do that is to go over to Instagram and direct message us. I'll make sure it gets back to Jackson. This isn't the end of his story, and I'm sure we'll have him on again, but I'm excited to see how it unfolds. Thanks again for listening to the Accelerate Performance Lab podcast, and I'll see you again next week.